Good morning. Welcome to Daily Sabbath today. I hope your J term is going well. We're what, at the halfway mark here, about? Keep at it. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we give you thanks for the gift of this day. We give you thanks for the precious gift of this life. And today we are so grateful, even more for all those things. We give you thanks for the amazing grace of the gift of your presence in this day and in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll begin by singing hymn number 790. I invite you to please stand. Our message this morning is focused on this passage from Romans, the 14th chapter, beginning at the 7th verse. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. This past Saturday, at the age of 58, a truly golden gusty was laid to rest. John D. Hoganson was a pastor and member of the Gustavus Board of Trustees. He was my friend and someone who taught me so much in life. His favorite song was "I Want My Life to Make a Difference," and I know some of you here helped give a video tribute of that song to John and his wife, Ruth. He treasured that video from all of us here at Gustavus, us singing his favorite song. Thank you for that. When he was diagnosed with a malignant, inoperable brain tumor, he was given 2 to 4 months to live. He lived 18 plus months. These days and weeks were a gift to his family. And through the platform of Caring Bridge, those days were a gift to many, many more. Knowing he was dying, in the face of death, he dared to live. What was the source of his hope, his strength? He knew whose life, his life, was wrapped up into Jesus Christ. John was 10 years older than me, and I love to hear him tell his stories about his days at Gustavus and how he felt called into the ministry. Because of his dyslexia, he struggled academically and during his time had been on probation. Something he flirted with throughout his entire time as a student. Now, without tearing himself down, he would share his struggles. And in this honesty, he inspired others. John described himself as an atheist when he arrived at Gustavus. During his first year, he even marched into the registrar's office and demanded to be exempt from the religious requirement as a conscientious objector. During his time at Gustavus, he found that his questions were respected, even encouraged. Gustavus, and in particular, this space, Christ Chapel, would always have a special place for him as the place he realized the love of God in Christ. He saw a bigger vision of life and how his life was wrapped up in it, and it gave him a sense of peace and a sense of purpose no matter what he faced. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. Yesterday, across our country, we celebrated and honored the life and legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. At the age of 39, Dr. King was assassinated. While he died a few years before I was born, I have considered him a friend who has taught me so much. Knowing full well what he was doing, in the face of power, he dared to speak. What was the source of his courage, his strength? He had caught a glimpse of the love of God in Christ, that agape love of God for all of creation. His final sermon was given on April 3rd, 1968 at Mason Temple to a group of striking sanitation workers in Memphis. This is a very famous sermon. For King, the justice cause had grown beyond civil rights to human rights across the world. The vision of God's agape love for all creation had become his focus. This famous message, if you have never heard it, the title of it is, I've Been to the Mountaintop. And even if you have heard it, I recommend listening to it again today. Homework. Soul work. If you could choose to live in any age, what age would you choose? That was a question that Dr. King played with in that message. It's actually a little remembered part of that sermon. If you could live in any age, what age would you live in? Going through the years, pausing at the great moments of faith and science and human rights, finally coming to the present moment, he offers his final decision. He says, if the Lord would allow me to live just a little longer in this time, that is my choice. Dr. King knew full well what he was doing. He had caught a glimpse of something much, much bigger than himself. He knew ultimately who he answered to and who held him. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. If the Lord would allow me to live just a little longer in this time, that is my choice. He then added, I know what you're thinking. What a strange statement. The world is messed up. The nation is sick. There's trouble in the land. Confusion all around. Only when it is dark enough can you see the star. Something is happening. We're finally grappling with the things that did not demand the others before us to fully face, he says. Survival now forces us to come to terms. People have been talking about war and peace. We must choose. The choice is not between nonviolence and violence, but between nonviolence and non-existence. I'm not sure if you were able to be here yesterday to hear our special guest speaker, the Reverend Dr. Jonathan Walton, professor and pastor at the Harvard Divinity School. He was amazing. That webcast is on our website still. If you've not, I recommend you listening to it. In his talk, he called us to see beyond what he called the Santa-fication of Dr. King, this national holiday figure that has been sanitized and reduced to a message of the past. Dr. Walton's words from yesterday are still with us. He said, "It's easier to celebrate a dead icon made in your image than to heed the admonitions of a living prophet. Easier to keep him in the museum of the collective past than heed his message for a complicated present. For to engage King is to call into question the shock and surprise in America about the struggles of its own citizens." We're reminded of the parable of the Good Samaritan, that story that Jesus told to illustrate the agape love that we are called to live. A story of a man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, who fell into the hands of robbers and was left for dead. Two important leaders of the church and community passed by doing nothing for the man, but one outsider, a Samaritan, stopped to help. It is understandable why the two others would not risk stopping. This was not a safe road in any way. Yet in the face of fear, one dared to act. Where did he find this courage? It was not courage he found, but rather a love that found him and opened him up to a bigger vision for his life, a bigger identity for himself and those around him. Now, I know that we are gathered here on a sleepy Tuesday during J-term. But this is my hope for each of you. I hope you know how much God loves you. I hope you are caught up in the agape work of Jesus. I hope God troubles you deeply about the hurts of those around you. And I hope you catch a glimpse of the role that you might have in bringing life and wholeness to others. And I hope your time at Gustavus inspires you, equips you, and leads you toward a path of a life lived in service to others. And that in the face of whatever you face during these days here or going forward in your life, I hope you dare to act. I hope you dare to speak. I hope you dare to live. Let us pray. We give you thanks for this gift of this day. We give you thanks for this precious gift of this life. And even more so, Lord, we give you thanks for the amazing grace of your presence with us through this life and beyond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 793. I invite you to stand as we sing it. Receive this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.